Today's gospel is a very full one, featuring the call of the evangelist Matthew, and in a way featuring his own exoneration as a tax collector in the words of Jesus. But I have decided to focus instead on the second part. And so today's gospel tells us of two healings. First is the healing of Jairus' daughter, and intricately interwoven into it is the story of the healing of the woman with the hemorrhage. Both stories appear woven together in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Just after Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, had begged Jesus to come and heal his little girl, who he thought was dead, Jesus immediately changed whatever plans he had and went with the distraught father. The child was 12, just on the brink of womanhood. We learn that from the other synoptics. And the account in the Gospel of Luke tells us she was his only child. She had somebody to intercede for her, a powerful and caring father. Jesus going to Jairus' house was a public event, and a crowd followed. In fact, the publicity was potentially scandalous for Jairus, a respected Jewish leader who had pleaded with an itinerant preacher to help heal his child. As the crowd was following Jairus to the house, the second healing story took place, and the woman with the hemorrhage entered the story. She had nobody to intercede for her. In fact, she had to operate covertly because she was considered ritually unclean, the result of her flow of blood. Under Jewish law, she should not have touched a man, especially a holy man. Her approach to Jesus was daring and in secret. This makes her story unusual and particularly moving. Last week on Trinity Sunday, Father Bill Stafford preached about the relationship between the three persons of the Trinity and pointed out that in essence, the Holy Spirit is the love that flows between the Creator and the Christ. We find love in relationships. And in Pope Leo's first encyclical, which is in large part looking at artificial intelligence, he stresses the necessity and importance of genuine human connection and relatedness, which AI cannot provide. Jairus had a clear and loving relationship with his daughter, which is apparent in his actions. We do not know what relationships the woman with the hemorrhage had, but her lonely, solitary act leads us to believe she had little or none. But while we only have the barest outline of her story, and no doubt there were days and nights of despair for her, I suspect that someone in her past, possibly her mother or her grandmother, told her that despite cultural evidence to the contrary, there was still abundant reason to rejoice that she was born a woman. And that affirmation gave her the impetus to seek out Jesus in the hope of regaining her health. As I reflected on these readings, I thought of women in today's culture in the United States who were hurting or metaphorically bleeding, and the victims of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell came to mind. These women have sought justice for a very long time. And while many of the Epstein files have been released, over 2 million documents still remain unreleased. And despite a large network of Epstein's clients, there have only been 2 brought to justice. I've been reading the book, Nobody's Girl, by Virginia Giuffre, which is both an American tragedy and a serious indictment of the cruel and powerful men who preyed on girls, as well as the institutions that did not protect those girls. The author documents her exploitation by Epstein and Maxwell, which eventually led to her being trafficked to their powerful friends, before she exposed their international sex trafficking operations. Our biblical stories have some interesting parallels with the Epstein victims. The woman with the issue of blood had been suffering isolation and humiliation. And as a middle schooler, Virginia Giuffre writes that her early abuse had caused her so many urinary tract infections that she was unable to control her bladder at school, and so she was ridiculed. Also, Jairus' daughter was just at that age in Jewish society when a girl is recognized as a woman. And that is precisely the age that predators like Epstein would seek them. But in the gospel story, both women were designated as daughters. Jesus called the woman with the hemorrhage daughter, implying that he was in genuine relationship with her, and she was also the same with God. It is the only time he used that address. But above all else, both stories are stories of faith. In Jairus, we see faith struggling to be born despite fear of loss and fear of ridicule. The woman with the hemorrhage dares to live the kind of faith Jairus is struggling to find. In her case, she thought all she had to do was simply touch the fringe of the garment of Jesus, and she would be made well. In ancient times, belief in the curative powers of a healer's garments, handkerchief, even shadow, were common. Such things were viewed as extensions of the person. The woman wanted to touch Jesus, and her words, "If I only touch his cloak," marked the intensity of her desire. Her faith overrode any fear of making Jesus unclean. When Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well," he literally meant that while he could certainly heal people of his own accord, the faith of others could apparently draw upon his healing power and may even have been partially prerequisite for healing to occur. Healing is a mystery that cannot be rationally understood. In this story, there was an exchange of power or energy that preceded Jesus' words and had a compassion of its own. My mother used to like to quote the actor Ethel Waters, who said, "You've got to pray with suction." The woman with the hemorrhage prayed with suction, drawing healing and blessing from Jesus. Such determination and such suction puts her in the company of the Canaanite woman, whose intelligence and ready wit changed Jesus' mind, and the persistent widow in Jesus' parable who finally persuaded the unjust judge to vindicate her. All of us have private pain, and in a sense, all of us could be said to metaphorically bleed. But sometimes the pain takes over, and it's as if we're constantly bleeding. The story of the woman with the hemorrhage tells us of relief and healing after a long, long illness. She brings a message to those suffering chronic pain and long-term disease. At such times, it's especially easy to feel far from God. But she continued to seek to touch Jesus, despite the crowd of things that could have come between them. The healing of Jairus' daughter tells of healing when all hope is gone. When Jesus said, "The child is not dead but sleeping," the crowd laughed at him. They'd already begun their flute playing, which was customary at a funeral. They were astonished at what they perceived to be Jesus' stubborn foolhardiness. But Jesus kept asking Jairus to have faith in spite of the crowd and his own parental anxiety. And that is what Jesus asks of us: hope in the face of what seems utterly hopeless, and faith such as to move mountains. To my mind, the good news of these healing stories is threefold. First of all, when God in Christ walked among us, we see that God valued the feminine and sought to heal where it was ill or injured. Jesus valued women, young and old, rich and poor, socially acceptable and unacceptable. That's borne out in many gospel stories, but these stories tell us that Jesus went out of his way to heal a little girl and that he accepted and healed a woman who was ritually unclean. And as his followers, it's imperative that we follow his lead, especially supporting the vulnerable and those victimized by the powerful. Second, the stories, particularly the story of the woman with the hemorrhage, tell us poignantly of the shame of disease, particularly diseases associated with the private parts of the body and with our sexuality. Many in our lives or our own loved ones have been touched by such illnesses, and the Epstein victims have also suffered shame. Jesus' healing and loving acceptance of the woman with the hemorrhage offers respect and hope for all who suffer shame as well as disease and the loss of dignity. Last, these stories emphasize the importance of our faith. It's a crucial element in healing and wholeness, whether that faith struggles to overcome fear and despair, as in the case of Jairus, or it's a faith that seems to know no boundaries, as in the case of the woman with the hemorrhage. It's a faith that rushes on, trusting fully in a good and loving God who desires our restoration and our health. Jesus urges us to have that kind of radical trust. The story of the woman with the hemorrhage tells of a faith so strong that it drew out a blessing before it was consciously given. Then when the blessing was given, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." The story almost shouts that truth. Amen.